We want to read some verses at the end of this chapter. And we're going to commence our reading at verse 38. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answering said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. We'll end our reading at the end of the chapter, and we know that the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Very simply tonight, I want to preach on the subject, Martha, Martha. Look at verse 41 again. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee again for thy presence with us tonight. We pray now as we come to preach thy word that again we might know the help of the Lord. Fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. O Lord, we're so conscious that without thee we can do nothing. We pray tonight that you might have a word in season for each and every one of us, and especially those here who are not saved. But Lord, speak to all of our hearts. O God, we pray that you would close us in with yourself. Cover our meeting in the precious blood. Defeat the devil. We pray that you'll bind the strong man in Jesus' precious name. And O God, we pray that you'll help us only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. During the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was one home that he visited regularly. And of course that was the home of Mary, Martha and Lazarus. Indeed, every time the Savior went to the town of Bethany, he was always found in this home. It was a home where Christ and his disciples were welcomed. And it was a home that not only knew the presence of the Lord Jesus, but it was a home that had experienced the power of the Son of God demonstrated in a mighty way. Because on one occasion, when Christ was in Bethany, he had raised Lazarus from the dead and restored him again to his two sisters. So this was a home that was greatly blessed by the man Christ Jesus. Men and women, there's no greater blessing than to know the presence and power of Christ in our homes. And I hope and pray that is the experience of us all here tonight. For a few moments this evening, I want you to consider with me this woman by the name of Martha. The name Martha, for those who don't know, means lady. I've no doubt that the Martha that we're going to consider tonight was a lady. But she was a lady who was not afraid to get her hands dirty. She was a lady who was prepared to roll up her sleeves and work. The incident that we have read about in Luke chapter 10 is the only time this incident is recorded in the Gospels. We don't read about this event in any other part of the New Testament. But as you study this passage of Scripture, it does not tell us all that we need to know about Martha, because Martha is, of course, mentioned in another portion of Scripture. Particularly, and that, of course, is John chapter 11. And although we want to concentrate in Luke chapter 10, when we come to deal with our subject tonight, I certainly want to refer back to John chapter 11, because in that portion of Scripture, we learn many great truths about Martha. And I pray as we look at the subject this evening, as we consider this character in the Bible, that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts. There's a message here for both saint and sinner alike. And I pray that the Lord will take his word and write it upon our hearts and upon our souls. What do we learn about Martha? Well, first of all, keep your hand in Luke chapter 10. Turn over just for a moment to John chapter 11. The first thing I want you to learn about Martha tonight is this. Martha loved the Lord. When you read the story of Martha in the Bible, there's no doubt that she loved the Lord. The Lord had saved Martha and had redeemed her by his precious blood. Martha was a child of God who had put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as her own and personal Savior. Martha believed in her heart that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And of course, that's how you're saved. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. You receive Christ into your heart as your own and personal Redeemer. And there was a day in Martha's life when she trusted Christ as her Savior. I want you to consider with me Martha's great confession of faith. Because in John chapter 11, Martha speaks some wonderful words. Look at verse 25. Jesus said unto her, this is the Lord Jesus speaking to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So here the Lord Jesus is emphasizing to her that he is the resurrection and the life, and that salvation is only found in him and in him alone. And then he poses this question to Martha, believest thou this? Now look at her response in verse 27. Here we have her confession of faith. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. That literally means, I believe that thou art the Messiah, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Here we have Martha's testimony. And she testifies here clearly that she had put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. She believed that the Lord Jesus was the promised Messiah. She believed that the Lord Jesus was the Son of God. She believed that the Lord Jesus was the only one that could save her from her sins and give her everlasting life. And of course, there was that day when she trusted Christ as her Savior. Martha's love for Christ can be seen in her confession of faith. These were not just words that Martha were saying. Martha believed them with all her heart. She believed them. And the reason why she loved the Lord was because the Lord had saved her soul from hell, and he had given her peace in her heart and assurance of heaven in her soul. She loved the Lord. Now, very simply tonight, let me ask you the question, do you love the Lord? Can you look back to the day in your life when you were saved? Can you say, like Martha, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world? Can you testify tonight that Jesus Christ is your Redeemer and your Savior? Can you testify tonight that you're trusting in him and in him alone as your own and personal Redeemer? I have no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Oh, thank God, if you're not saved tonight, if you don't love the Lord, then you can come and be saved this evening. But it's so important. Indeed, it is imperative that you come and put your faith and trust in Christ, just like Martha did. Is this your confession? Is this your testimony that you have accepted Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Savior of the world? Well, if it is, then you love the Lord. If it is, you can say that you love Christ. And I believe with all my heart that Martha loved the Lord with all her soul, with all her heart, and with all her mind. But let me say this, and this is very important, and I don't want you to miss this in John chapter 11. Martha's love for Christ was nothing compared to Christ's love for her. Take a look at John chapter 11 and verse 5. Underline the first part of the verse. It says, now Jesus loved Martha. Jesus loved Martha. The truth is that Martha only loved the Lord because she first loved her. And of course, that's the testimony of each of us who are saved tonight. We love the Lord. And our testimony is that He is the Savior. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. And He has redeemed Him. But the truth is that we love Him because He first loved us. And thank God, away back in eternity past, even before this world was created, God planned that His only begotten Son would come and die upon a cross, shed His precious blood for our sins. Oh, sinner, do you realize tonight that Jesus loves you? Jesus loves you so much that He died on the cross in order to save you. We often sing that little chorus with the children. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. And thank God tonight, if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, if you don't love the Lord, you can come and you can find Him as your Savior tonight. Why? Because He loves you. He laid down His life on the cross for you. He shed His precious blood for you. He died in order to set you free. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me. And of course, if we want to see the love that Christ had for you and me, then we need look no further than Calvary, the cross, because the cross demonstrates the great love that the Savior had for sinners, for you and me. Isn't it wonderful that He first loved us? You see, we couldn't love Him until He first loved us. And the message of the gospel is this, that although you're in your sin tonight on your way to a lost eternity, the Lord loves you. He doesn't love your sin, but He loves you. He doesn't love your rebellion, but He loves you. He doesn't love the nature that you've been born with, but He loves you. And He's willing to save you tonight. He saved Martha. He saved Martha. He redeemed Martha because He loved her. Oh, my friend, when you consider the love that Martha had for Christ, never forget that the Lord Jesus had greater love for her. And child of God, there's a lesson there for you and me. No matter how much we love the Lord, the Lord always loves us more. And I pray that that truth will not be lost upon us this evening. But I want you to turn back to Luke chapter 10, this portion of scripture which we read. Because the second thing I want you to notice about Martha tonight is this. Secondly, Martha lost out with the Lord. In other words, there was a time in Martha's walk with God. There was a time during her Christian life when Martha allowed something to come between her and her Savior. In Luke chapter 10, verse 40, we read these words. Look at them, underline them. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. These are sad words. I'm sure that you've read them many times before. But they're sad words. This cumbered about much serving that we read about Martha, it's not good. Martha here is allowing the affairs of life to interfere with her walk with God. Martha here is permitting the temporal things of life to interfere with her communion and fellowship with the Lord. The Son of God had just come into her home. Now I want you to think about that for a moment. The incarnate Christ had just sat down at the table. Look what it says in verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village. That's the Lord Jesus and His disciples. And a certain woman named Martha received Him into her home. Here we have the Son of God entering into the home of Martha. What an occasion this was. Just think about it. The Lord Jesus coming to your home, paying you a visit. And instead of being cumbered about much serving, she should have been sitting at his feet and listening to his word. The word cumbered here means distract. Martha, in other words, was distracted. That's what the text is teaching us. And although she meant well, because I believe she did mean well, she was still wrong. Oh, child of God, surely there's a lesson here for you and I. Don't allow even the legitimate things of life hinder us from meeting with the Lord. Don't be so busy running after your family and after your loved ones and after your work and after the day-to-day chores of life that you lose out with God in your spiritual life. Don't fall into the same trap that Martha fell into and be cumbered about much serving, with the result that you fail to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. Now we'll be saying more about sitting at the feet and listening to the words of Christ in a moment. But I want to emphasize to you here that Martha was wrong in what she did. Did you notice that Martha's fussing about caused her to become cranky? And I use that word deliberately. Martha started to complain. She complained about Mary, and she also started to tell the Lord what to do. Did you notice that? Look at verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him. Came to the Lord. Now you've got to recognize that she's coming to the Savior here. She's coming to the Son of God. She's not coming to the man down the street. She's not even coming to one of the disciples. She's coming to the King of Kings. And she said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her. Why, she commands the Lord. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. You know, child of God, that's what happens to us when we lose out with God. We're dealing here with a woman who had lost out with the Lord. And that's what happens to us when we lose out with the Lord. When you have no time because you're too busy to come to the prayer meeting. When you stop having a serious quiet time with the Lord because you're running here, there and everywhere. You become cranky. And you start blaming everyone for your problems except yourself. And you see, that's what Martha is doing here. She's starting to blame everyone for her problems. Child of God, the next time you're cranky and difficult to live with, take it from me, you're losing out with the Lord. And of course, we can all apply that to our lives, each and every one of us. You're cumbered about much serving, and it is time to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear his precious, precious word. I wonder, is there someone here tonight and you've lost out with the Lord? I wonder, is there someone, and you'll be listening to this message, and it's a word in season for your own heart. Oh, I pray that the Lord will take this word and burn it within our souls. You see, it's so important to take time each day around the throne of grace. So important to wait upon the Lord. And Martha was failing to do that. That was her problem. And that's how she lost out with the Lord. And although she may have thought that what she was doing was right and legitimate, still, as we're going to find out just now, the Lord graciously and gently rebuked her for her being cumbered about much serving. You see, that's the third thing I want you to notice here. Not only that she loved the Lord, not only that she lost out with the Lord because she was cumbered about much serving, but I want you to notice Martha's lesson from the Lord. And we have this recorded in verses 41 and 42. Let's read these verses and let's look at them carefully. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. So
He wanted to get her attention. I believe when she spoke complaining in verse 40, she was still cumbering about much serving. She was probably getting on with whatever she was doing, preparing this meal. She didn't even take the time to stop, I believe. She just spoke the words as she continued. So the Lord wanted to get her attention, and he said, "Martha, Martha." And I tell you, that got her attention. And she stopped whatever she was doing. "Thou wert careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." I want to emphasize the little phrase in verse 42. One thing is needful. Here Christ rebukes Martha. He rebukes her concerning her cumbered about much serving. He rebukes her for complaining about Mary, I believe. And it is a rebuke in love. I believe it's a rebuke in love. And the lesson that the Savior is seeking to teach Martha is that the spiritual is more important than the temporal. That's the lesson. One thing is needful. The one thing that is of the utmost importance is the welfare of the soul. That's the truth. That's the lesson that the Lord Jesus Christ was seeking to get across to Martha. Martha was neglecting the welfare of her soul, the spiritual welfare of her soul. You know, this truth is emphasized when Christ spoke to Martha about Mary in verse 42, because the Savior goes on. Let's read the verses again. One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary was more interested in the spiritual than she was in the temporal and the material things of life. And the Savior commended Mary for this. And it's so important that we see that. One thing is needful. You know what Jesus said on another occasion? He said this: "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." The Lord Jesus said on another occasion, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, we have already said that Martha was saved and that she loved the Lord, and so she was, and so she did. But she had lost out with the Lord, and she was cumbered about much serving. And one would have thought that if the Savior walked into her home, that the first thing that she would have wanted to do was to sit down and listen to him. Would that not have been the first reaction? Certainly that was Mary's reaction. And that should have been Martha's reaction. I don't know how long it was since they had seen the Lord, but I'm sure a good period of time had gone by, and the Lord had just come to Bethany with his disciples, and he had just entered into the house and sat down at the table. Surely the first thing you would do is sit down beside him, say, "Lord, what have you to say to us today?" And the Lord gently rebukes Martha. One thing is needful. The Lord's here talking about the spiritual. He's talking about the spiritual. He sees Martha cumbered about much serving. He sees her fussing about. And he has listened to her complaining about Mary. And now he's going to take the situation in hand. And he says, "Martha, Martha, one thing is needful. One thing is of the utmost importance. And it's not the temporal. It's not the meal you're preparing. And Mary hath chosen that good part." And of course the Bible says that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Every time you read of Mary in the Bible, by the way, she's always sitting at the feet of Jesus. And the lesson here is simple. The spiritual is more important than the physical. The eternal is more important than the temporal. The soul is more important than the body. The sitting at the feet of Jesus is more important than the cumbered about much serving. No, child of God, surely there's a lesson there for you and I. In this day and age in which we live, there's much to be done. And of course, from we waking up in the morning to we go to bed at night, there's much that we have to see to. But we should never neglect the most important. We should never neglect the spiritual. And of course, the spiritual is taking time to open up the Bible and to prayerfully consider the Word of God and to pray and to seek the face of the Lord. And of course, it's not just a matter of reading a few verses quickly, saying a prayer, shooting it up to heaven and then rushing out. Oh no, it says here that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. This one thing that was needful took time. It took time. And it took prayerful time because she wanted to hear what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say to her. And of course, you and I, as we sit at the feet of Jesus, as we open up the Word of God and read the Scriptures, we need to wait and pray that the Lord will speak to us through His precious, precious Word. And sometimes we need to get away from the work that calls upon us each day. We need to draw aside. In fact, it is imperative that we draw aside. And this is the lesson that the Lord was emphasizing to Martha. He was emphasizing this lesson. And of course, it was up to Martha at that point to sit and listen to what the Savior had to say. And she did listen because she had to listen. You know, child of God, sometimes if we're not taking the time, if we're cumbered about much serving and running about from hour to hour and day to day, if we're not taking the time to wait upon the Lord, well, the Lord can just put the feet from under us and He can just make us listen. And He can demand that we listen. And the Lord can do that many different ways so we can. That's why it's so important to spend time with the Lord in your own private devotions, day by day. Martha had neglected it. She had neglected it, the spiritual. I pray that you and I in these days will not neglect the spiritual. But let me close by asking you the question again. Do you love the Lord? Are you saved by the grace of God? If you're not, then you need to come tonight and put your faith and trust in Him. Justification is an act of God's free grace. And of course, sanctification is the work of God's free grace. The Lord can save you and justify you tonight. And then you can start walking with the Lord. But you need to begin your journey to heaven. And you can't begin your journey to heaven until you repent of your sin and by faith accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart as your own and personal Redeemer. And that's why I emphasize that you need to come and put your trust in Christ tonight. Can you say it like Martha? I believe that thou art the Christ. Can you say that? Have you received Him? Is He your Savior? Is He your Redeemer? If not, then come and trust Him this evening. And child of God, if we have lost out with the Lord and we're too busy from day to day and week to week, if the affairs of life, business and even family, all the legitimate things of life, and you know, humanly speaking here, Martha wasn't doing anything wrong. She was seeking to serve the Lord, but she had neglected the spiritual. Even by doing the legitimate things of life, she had neglected. And help, we need to pray and ask the Lord to help us not to neglect the spiritual. Because then we'll become cranky. And then we'll blame everybody else instead of ourselves. Oh, may the Lord speak through His Word and bless us through His Word tonight. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for the simple truths that we learn from Thy Word. And we thank Thee, O God, for this passage of Scripture in the Bible. O God, we have at times lost out with the Lord. We've been just too busy throughout the day, throughout the week. And Lord, we have come into Your presence, Lord, and we haven't been very reverent at times. O God, forgive us for our sins. We pray, Lord, that our quiet time will mean something to us in a very special way, that the Lord will speak to us, that we'll take time to be holy, that we'll take time with the Lord, and that we will pray earnestly, and as we read Thy Word, that You would speak to us through Thy precious truth. And O God, as we sit at the feet of Jesus, we pray that it might indeed be a profitable time to us. O God, we know that if we come with hearts prepared, then it will be a profitable time. Lord, help us to learn from Mary.
He came to die for sinners. But the Lord brought me back to Himself in January 1998. My recruits course was on in July 98. I went along to that recruits course, and there were 52, I think, in our course at that stage. And most of those fellas were living for their time off, going down to the Nafi and enjoying their self. I'm not going to say any more because we're out to bring glory to the Lord tonight, not anything else. And the Lord put people into my path at that time. In fact, there was a fella in my section who was a strong Christian fella. In fact, he's now a Belfast City missioner in the city of Belfast. He was in my section. And there was another fella, a Free Presbyterian fella, he was in my own company. And the Lord put these people, I do believe now, looking back, the Lord put these people into my way to stop me doing those things that I would have otherwise done. You know, that's not to say that we never have temptations. That's not to say we never have moments of weakness or whatever else. I can remember, in fact, you see, what they do in the recruits course, the main thing they do is deprive you of sleep to see how you're going to behave. And that's been good preparation for college exams. But I can remember on one occasion, one of the other fellows who was in my section, he used to smoke, he used to roll his own. And I would have been good at that. And I remember rolling one night and putting it into my smock, into my pocket. And I lay there for days. I'd almost forgotten about it. But there was one night, it was about 3 a.m, and we weren't allowed to sleep. We were on doing a particular thing. We had to be awake or else it wouldn't have been good for us. And I hadn't slept for about 2 days, and I can remember the temptation coming.